sung that a couple of times during the series, and just like the way it just says it, he's coming back again, but he's alive today. He's living. We don't serve an empty tomb or a dead Savior. Like all the other false religions in the world, we have a Savior who's alive. Don't forget, in the middle of your bulletin, there's some insert there so you can follow along and take some notes. Today is the end of our planned series on the end times. We've looked at a lot of different things. We'll review a little bit of it today. And I've had a lot of you ask questions sometime during the weeks. I've had some few phone calls and just some people have stopped in. But if you have a question that you want to see answered, maybe something that just kind of that you've thought of throughout this series, write it down to me and get it to me today. If we have five or six questions that people want, we'll just take next Sunday to answer those and just kind of a question-answer time next Sunday. If we don't get a question, that's fine. I've been working and praying on just a one-week message for the last 3 weeks, kind of looking at Bruce Jenner. If you're familiar with what's going on there, and I've just been praying about it and putting it together, transitioning versus transforming. And so if we don't have questions next week, we're going to be taking a look at that. It's not going to be about Bruce Jenner, but it's certainly something that's been in our news, and the media has been covering it, and a whole bunch of different slants looking at it. But that's what, if we don't do that next week, we'll do that on the 7th or the 14th. All right, just so you know. But if you have some questions and you'd like to write them down, get them to me today, and we'll need five or six, like I said, to take that for next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are a living Savior. Lord, we know that you're coming back. What an awesome thought that is for us to realize that this isn't as good as it gets, that the hope of heaven is eternal life, and that beautiful peace, and just spending eternity with you where all the tears will be wiped away, there'll be no more sickness, no more death, and Lord, we look forward to that. But Lord, in the meantime, we have a job to do, and we pray, Lord, that we would be busy telling others about Christ so that we can take as many people with us as possible. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless our nation today. It's certainly not the nation that many of us remembered, and certainly our grandparents and great-grandparents wouldn't recognize it today. But Lord, we pray that you've given us a job to do, and we're here, and we've been too quiet too long, allowing things just to happen while it's been on our watch. And probably the biggest thing that we haven't done is pray, where you tell us, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their sin and pray, then you'll heal their land. And Lord, I pray that we would be busy doing that. And we do pray for our leaders. We pray for our nation. And Lord, as we look at it today, we realize that the future doesn't look bleak. It looks very bleak. It doesn't look real positive for this country. We pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. We've said several times in this series that I don't think America is going to be around in the end times, at least have a major role in what's happening in what we've been looking at. We certainly don't see or playing a role as a world power in Scripture. And it's those of us who are alive and living today and maybe been around for more than 10 or 15 years realize that the nation certainly isn't the power that it was even 20 years ago, isn't the world leader that it was back when the World War II heroes came home and of what they lived and died for. I doubt we would recognize the world in the end times. It's going to be a place of pure evil. Life is certainly not going to be what would be normal to us. And I've tried to paint the picture for you of just the sheer terror that's going to be around the world, at least those first few moments after the rapture of the church. But what's daily life going to look like? What's going to happen? We don't know. I'm not giving you the steadfast answer that this is what's going to be. But we want to look at three things. Number one is that America is missing in prophecy. America is missing in prophecy. We just don't see America mentioned anywhere. But if she's not mentioned, what is it that happens to her? Now, this is a combination of things from college and other messages and just some study that I've done. There might be more than this, but at least four possible explanations of what happens to America. Number one in your notes, and you can just write these out as where you have the spaces there. Just write out however you best describes it for you. But I believe America could be present as a nation, but it would become a second-rate power, second-rate nation, and no longer a dominating world power. And I just have a few things listed under here, and I want you to think about what you've seen in our country and what we know of it happening today. But listen to these things about America. We are right now the number one borrower in the world. And I said this probably in message number two or three, because I've been to China four or five times, and just that's the nation that God's really laid on my heart as far as mission work. But we are in such debt to China alone, not just to mention the other nations of the world, but it has been said that if China were to call our loan, and I know I said this back in the series before, but if China were to call our loan, we would fold economically as a nation. We could not begin to pay back what we are indebted to China alone for. Another thing, we have a weakened military. We've frustrated many of our soldiers. Our national pride was at an all-time high after 9/11. But this administration has turned their back on veterans and current enlisted in men and women. When their service in the military is completed, they come home to a country where they should be able to get jobs should just be given to them. But we find, and what people are complaining about, is jobs that should be going to our men and women who risked their lives to serve our country are going to illegal immigrants, and there's just not enough work for the veterans who come home. We've cut funding all the time for our military. I saw someone had something on the computer this week saying, why is it that Social Security and military funding is always the first thing to get cut? How come it's not Congress's pay? How come they don't ever say, we'll take a cut or we won't take a raise this year? We don't ever see them doing that. We see them threatening our senior citizens with cutting Social Security and certainly weakening our nation's ability to protect itself. We have a weakened national identity. For Memorial Day, we played I'm Proud to Be an American. And do you remember when that song first came out? And remember after 9/11, and those of you who went back further, back with World War II and back in that time of history, you remember just national pride, just all the pictures of people standing around the flag. You go down to Vietnam or to Washington, you go through the memorials, the Vietnam Memorial, the World War II Memorial, and you see, and you just read, it's very emotional to go through that Vietnam Memorial and to see the thousands and thousands of men and women who died. We had national pride. Somewhere along the line, we've traded that for what's called the New World Order, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But whether we realize it or not, we don't run our own country. The United Nations does. The United Nations kind of tells us what our priority should be. We have a president who travels around apologizing for the nation that he leads, and we have weakened ourselves along the world scene. And then you add to all that the demise of the family as it continues to snowball as it goes downhill. I just put down some things: crime, AIDS, drugs, alcohol, abortion, same-sex marriage, no value for human life, and we continue to deteriorate. And we have become a second-rate power in my lifetime, I believe. We're a laughingstock, really, to the world. Let me see the second one, letter B, because of the rapture. She's weak. America will become a nation in a state of turmoil and weakness due to all the many believers that will be taken at the time of the rapture. And just think with me about that. Millions of born-again Christians living in America, they will all be gone. All right? And when you think about that, you think about, hopefully, most church leaders will be gone, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of church leaders who don't know Christ. But think about the church leaders, business leaders who will be gone, just vanished. major leaders, all levels of government and military will be vanished. They'll be gone. Think about the economy, those first few days. Imagine, and again, if you ever watched the movie A Thief in the Night, they did a great job of portraying that, the radio playing and saying, you know, mysteriously, planes have crashed because pilots just disappeared, and cars on the freeway and trains and all those things that happened, but people waking up and finding their loved ones missing because they believed in Christ and the ones who were left behind didn't trust in Christ. But imagine just the utter confusion. Imagine Wall Street on that day. If you ever watched, I've never been to Wall Street, never want to go in it. I've been to Wall Street, but never been into the Wall Street building. I don't ever want to do that. It just looks so confusing and just so chaotic to me. But if you've ever seen the stuff on TV, it's chaotic to begin with. On a normal day, imagine having millions of people taken away, bank leaders. Imagine the turmoil on that. Because of the rapture, she becomes weak. Letter C, it could be because we become politically engaged with the Antichrist. The New World Order, I mentioned, completely agrees with where America is headed today. They want to see us weaken. And I found this, I just kind of looked up, I mean, you probably know what New World Order means, but for those of you who maybe are questioning, it says, it's led by a respected world leader who lowers national interests for international interests, and U.S. matters, or U.S. interests don't matter to the New World Order. In other words, there's someone, and it could be our president who doesn't really care about our country, leading it, but we've lost, and we see it happening all the time. The American standards are no longer, it's important. We don't want to offend anyone in our nation, do we? It always bothers me when I call someone and I get an answer machine and it gives me three or four languages and then it says English, one for English or three for English. I'm here. Speak English. When I go to China, I don't ever say, hey, you need to speak English to me because we're the important language. They don't do that. You go to Jamaica. Well, Jamaica kind of speaks a broken English, but you go to African countries or Brazil, and those countries don't say, hey, we're going to speak your language. They tell us, if you want to communicate to us, learn our language or get a translator, and then we will speak to you. We have become so engaged in this new world order that we have lost American pride. As I said, we are less respected in the world than we've ever been. We're desperately, we're in desperate need of financial help as well. And we're becoming more so. And that's one of the things that the Antichrist will deliver on his promises. He's going to promise the countries that remain that he will be their financial stability. And he's going to exert tremendous financial influence over the nations of the world that remain, and if you look at Revelation 13. But that could be the third one. And the fourth one is where I believe we're headed, is that we become destroyed militarily by our weakened defense. Middle East and Muslims could devastate us. Some say a world nuclear attack by Iraq, Libya, Iran, China, or Europe. I saw it on the news the other day, but I didn't hear the report that China is threatening America militarily. Some others believe it could just be the judgment of God because of the pornography, the abortion, the rejecting of Christ as a nation. And as we review those things, those four points, any one of the four could be true. And I believe as we look at our nation today, it's not very difficult for us to believe that any of those four could happen, because we see it happening. This once very proud, this once very powerful nation that based its founding and its heritage on the Word of God and the things of God has gotten away from that. We've thrown the book away. We've thrown the belief system away. And we've, as a nation, we've turned our back on God. And not only is it that we're not proclaiming God's Word, we're arresting and prosecuting those who do. It could be that some Sunday we come in here and they bust in our doors and threaten us and arrest me for preaching the Word of God, and replace me with someone who wants to just give you good news. We have fallen very quickly. And I want you to understand it's happened on our watch. While you and I, my mom always said, I know I've said this to you before, my mom always blamed her generation for standing by and watching prayer being taken out of public school. I was in first grade when that happened. We prayed at the beginning of the year. Our teacher would pray and read scripture, and by the end of the year, we weren't doing that. And my mom always said, you know, her generation was going to have to be accountable to God for allowing that to happen in our country. Well, it's gotten much worse since then, and it's been on our watch. We have been quiet. We have been afraid. We've been passive, and we have been sinners because we have not repented. We have not prayed for our nation. So that's the poor news, isn't it? It's not exciting to have to say that, but America's not found in prophecy. But what we do see is as Israel becomes the center of world politics. And it really is hard to believe that aside from God, if we're a worldly person and don't believe in Jesus Christ, we would just have to ask ourselves, how does this nation still exist? How is Israel even a functioning nation? The fact that it's around is a miracle that shows God's faithfulness. So many Jews have died horrible deaths. Been estimated that more than 6 million were killed in concentration camps under Hitler. Many died in the Crusades, and countless thousands, perhaps millions, have died in the past years by bombs and street raids in Israel itself. And I just want to review just a few things that we have talked about in this series so far. Number one is when the church is taken out, when the rapture occurs, Satan is immediately going to begin his attack. This one who's known as the Antichrist, that we call the Antichrist, this beast, he's going to sign a peace treaty right in the beginning with Israel, promising the deliverance and promising this economic blessing. But we see him in the middle of that period, 3.5 years in, it ushers in the 70th week of Daniel, which we talked about several weeks ago. But this is what's going to be happening. Israel is going to be the center of the world at that point. Second thing is Russia is going to form its coalition, and we talked about that a few weeks ago in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. Russia is going to form a coalition with several other nations, and that's going to be the battle of Gog and Magog. And these nations come together to try to, again, wipe out Israel. It's been their history. It happens all the time. But God has protected them. Midway through the tribulation, Satan is going to abandon this treaty, and he's going to go to the Temple Mount, and he's going to do what's referred to as the abomination of desolation. The Jews are going to face, again, unbelievable persecution at the hands of the Antichrist, and this arrogant world dictator is going to try to commit himself to this abomination of desolation by going into the Mount or into the Temple and proclaiming himself to be God. You worship me. I'm your world leader, but I am also God. And I think it's difficult for us to imagine persecution getting any worse than what we have seen in Israel's history. If you've ever been to the Holocaust Museum, it's just an unbelievably moving museum down in Washington. And we took our youth group there several times when we did missions trips, and I had some parents say, I don't want my child to go there. And I said, they're a teenager. This is part of history. We're going. And if you don't want them to go, just don't send them on the trip, because I think our kids need to see that. And if you haven't been there, go through it. But it's just amazing. But this period is going to be much worse. Let me just read a couple of verses so you can just write them down. The one is Daniel 9:27, and it says this: He, the beast, will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations, this is where we get that, will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. So this Antichrist is going to go in to the temple place and say, I am the one who is God. Worship me. It is going to desecrate everything that the Jews hold dear. And then the other passage is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, Let no one deceive you in any way. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness, this beast, is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. That's what this is talking about, this abomination of desolation. It's an abomination to the Jews, but it's going to destroy their trust in this one who is completely changing his peace treaty. Okay, and then the final thing that we have here about Israel is that we've already talked about the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon takes place here, that final last battle before Satan's cast into that eternal lake of fire for 1,000 years, and then to be released before he's put into the eternal place. But just to show you, these are some things that Israel still has to go through, and they do become the center of attention in the end times. And then the final thing, kind of talked about in the song, I don't know if you can read that word, it says, the signs pointing to the last days. Signs pointing to the last days. I'd never heard of this man before. Maybe Russ in history had heard about it, but his name was Alexander Fraser Tyler. I had never heard of him until I was looking on some material and found out his name. And someone had written just a sentence from what I'm about to read, and I thought, man, this is powerful. But the things that lead to a nation's collapse are all present in America today. And I want you to hear what this man wrote, Alexander Fraser Tyler, in a book called Cycle of Democracy, was written in 1770. All right, before our nation was even a nation. In 1770, the Cycle of Democracy, he says this. I think I have it up here. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits. You ever heard that before? You ever see that happening in politics? We don't ever see people vote like that, do we? In election time, we don't see people vote because of what someone promises to them. The public treasury with the result that a democracy always collapses over lousy fiscal policy, always followed by a dictatorship. Always followed by a dictatorship. Could he have written this last month? So listen to this. The average of the world's great civilizations before they decline has been 200 years. Listen to this. These nations have progressed in this sequence from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, from dependency back again to bondage. It's an amazing, amazing article written in 1770. With such great insight that as if he was looking at a telescope to 2015 America. We go from spiritual faith, which is what this nation was founded on, to great courage, and think of all the men and women who died in war. From great courage to liberty, we're free. From liberty to abundance. Do we have enough? Do we have more than enough in America? We certainly do. From abundance to selfishness. Man, we see that everywhere. There was a great video, and I thought of playing this. I might have played this 2 or 3 years ago from Paul Harvey that he did in 1965 saying, "If I Were the Devil." If you have a chance, look that up. Play that for yourself on YouTube. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And he just talks, if I were the devil, this is what I would do in America. I would give them a devalue human life. I would have them becoming more and more selfish. And it's an amazing thing, but it was about 6 or 7 minutes, and I didn't want to take the time to play it again today. But I want you to think about some of the contributors that we see to a collapsing nation. And we're just going to, I give you a list up here and you can write them down. But all these things we see are decaying America today. And here they are. Number one, false religions. And this is, you can find this right down Matthew 24. And Jesus talking about the end times. You'll see these things listed here. But he talks about false religions. And think about in America, the rise of Islam. The rise of other non-Christian religions that are gaining power and popularity in our government. As I said, we have a government as well as a president who's bending over backwards to appease these false religions, but he doesn't give a rip about Christianity. He doesn't like Christians. Our government wants to see the church wiped out. Matter of fact, they're looking to make Christianity illegal while they cater to all the false religions that are on our soil. Second is tribulation. Just look at the track record of terrorist attacks over the past 10 years. Count the number of wars that have been fought because of religious beliefs. Think about how our nation ignores the persecution of Christians around the world. Our nation, our leaders argue and defend the Muslims and will make fun of and just rip people apart in the media who offend the Quran, or when the pastor stood up a few years ago and burnt the Quran, they said that's what led to all the hatred of America. The fact that the countries around the world burn our flag and burn our Bible, we don't think anything about that. We don't care about that. People who were imprisoned and tortured and killed. And just think about the number of Christians just this year, just in 2015, the first 5 months who have died, who we've witnessed being led out to the beaches, being burned alive in cages. Hear about the children who've been kidnapped and killed. Families who've been torn apart because of simply being a follower of Jesus Christ. Another thing that we see all the time, natural disasters. There's been an increase in the intensity and frequency of earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, all kinds of different diseases and pestilences, if you want to call it that. Think back to a year. What was the greatest fear in our nation about a year ago? A disease. Do you remember? Ebola. You don't hear anything about it anymore. Dr. Arnold spoke about it a little bit last week, but so many diseases. Ebola was the big thing, and now there's so many other things that are out there that we don't even hear about Ebola anymore. But flooding and earthquakes, and just so you know, I'm really excited. Had a missionary contact me a couple months ago, and he just confirmed for coming October the third Sunday. We have the Tallmans, who we support, the Abrahams, who we support, and then this family, John Morgan, who's a PhD. He's a medical missionary, travels around the world. And he sent me a letter the other day. He said, please don't post this. You can share it with your church, but please don't post it because his wife is now over in Nepal. And he had it on there. I think the last count was like 6,300 dead, 14,000 injured, and so many thousands missing. And he said, Nepal is still a closed country. But he said, my wife is over there now doing ministry as well as counseling. So they're treating people physically and then touching them spiritually as well. But just think about all those things. Nepal, within just a two-week period, had those two huge major earthquakes. All the flooding and all the things that go on around our world, and so many, many lives being devastated by that. Jesus talked about famine. Obviously, we don't see it so much in America, but because of the violence and the nature of man's sinful neglect of brothers and sisters around the world, more people suffer from starvation and lack of clean water and proper nutrition than any other time in world history. Now, obviously, there's more people than any other time in world history, but untold thousands of people die every year from lack of food and dirty water. And this isn't just something that's just happening. Jesus said it was a sign of the end times. Another one is decreased morality. When I think about morality, I always think about Roe versus Wade and taking away the rights to children. legalizing abortion. Over 70 million children have died in the womb. But lives all around us have no value, whether it's the aged, whether it's those who are physically, mentally challenged. You add to all of this the decrease of family values, the erosion of marriage, and you think about all of those things taking such tremendous toll on our country. And a lot of things I want to say, but I'll kind of skip over that. But just think about what our country is doing today. Just think about in your own mind the things that you think about as far as the decreasing morality or increasing immorality, if you want to call it that way. It's all around us. All you need to do is turn on the television. Commercials now would never have appeared 10, 15 years ago, let alone the movies that are out, promoting all kinds of things. Cheryl and I were just out the other day, and it played on Family Life Ministries. A new website has just going to be launching, promoting adultery, saying life is too short, have an affair. That's their theme. And people are excited about that. And Christians, we stand by and we watch it happen, and we don't say anything, let alone pray about it. We need to pray for our nation. And then lawlessness. Again, turn on the TV and we see it every day. Unrest, physical attacks in the name of justice. we talk about our military, and I love our military. I love men and women who serve. But if you had a chance to get out to the Memorial Day service at the cemetery on Monday, it was just an awesome service. But be thankful for men and women who serve in our law enforcement as well. A few weeks ago, or a couple months ago, a kid who'd gone through my church youth group up in Corning now has kind of gone off the deep end. He moved out to Denver so he could be around the legalized marijuana. And he puts some things on. And I always say, I want to respond to it. And Cheryl says, don't say anything. Don't say anything to him, because it's not my nature to sit back and not say something. So Cheryl always says, don't say anything. But he had something on a couple of months ago about not kind of promoting death to our lawmen, policemen, but something that was just kind of very ignorant. So I responded, and I had to say it, and I just posted, not in response to him, but I just said, those of you who talk about hating our law enforcement officers, try living in a society where you don't have any. Can you imagine what we'd be like, a lot of other nations in the world? We don't like to be pulled over. I hate to be pulled over. A few months ago, we were going down for, I think it was for my mother's funeral, was it, or my stepfather's funeral? And I even tried to tell the cop. He goes, where are you going to such a... I said, well, I'm going to a funeral. And he didn't care. He gave me a ticket anyway. We hate to be pulled over by anybody. We hate that. I still, not that this road is real busy, but I still drift through the stop sign by the end of my road here. I realize I'm breaking law every time I do it. But we don't like to be pulled over. We don't like certain laws. But I'm going to tell you, go to a country where they don't have laws, and man, you'll appreciate America. When we were in Nigeria and even in Brazil, we would go down the road and we would just be going from county to county or line to line, town line to town line, and we would be stopped. People come out holding submachine guns to our driver's head and to us coming in the passenger door, and they wanted payment. They wanted something for letting you go down the road. And we would always say, we're Christian missionaries taking out a film to go out into the tribes. We're just going to go out and talk to people about Jesus Christ. And they didn't like that either. But they, when they found out that we were Christians, they realized, okay, we don't have any money. And we're not going to give it to them. But I tell you, you go to a country like that, and you will appreciate men and women who serve our nation. People ask the question, does God send these storms of tragedy into our lives? And I don't know if he sends them, but he certainly allows them to come. And they are a result of our sin. They're a result of this nation's sin. They're a result of my sin. But God is always good to us. And as you look at these things, they're part of God's judgment, but they're always meant to turn us back to God. The intention is to point us back to the Lord. The question that we should ask in response to people saying, does God allow these things, is when will this happen, and what will be your sign of the coming of your age, Lord? When are you going to come? That's, I guess, what I'm trying to say. When we see these things happening, we shouldn't question, does God allow tragedy? We should just say, God, when is it going to happen? But Jesus concluded in Matthew 24, he says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. I want you to think for a moment that we are living on borrowed time. We really are. We are living in a nation that is occupied by the enemy. Whoever disagrees with the politics and the leaders of our world are destined, or at least targeted, for turmoil and judgment by the world. But yet, we need to keep in mind those who abandon Christ are targeted by his judgment. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And just write down Ephesians 6:12 in your notes and just reread that again today. I'm going to read it now, but Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And I have to remember that. So often I put flesh and blood on the enemy, don't I? Or do you? I don't know if you do, but I am. I put flesh and blood, and I look and say, it's that person who's the problem, or it's that leader who's the problem, or it's that group of that political party that's the issue. He said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I want you to understand that if you're part of the Christian community, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're involved in all-out war. The Bible says to take up the armor of God. We're living in Satan's battleground. The Bible says it hated Jesus and it's going to hate us. It hates our nation. Since it persecuted Jesus, it's going to persecute us. Paul used the terms wrestle. He called us soldiers. He said, putting on the armor. Those are all forces in terms of war. What's happening in the United States? Rather than us telling people, this is how we live, these are the principles that our country's founded on, this is how our nation was founded, this is what we do to run our personal lives, we base it on the Word of God, we trust in Jesus Christ. We don't want to offend anyone, so we say, we're going to adopt your religion. We're not only going to allow you to practice, but we're going to start doing it too. We're going to forsake the very foundations that we were built on, and we're going to start holding dear all the things that are important to you. You don't have to be like us. We're willing to be like you. I tell you, I don't think America has much longer. The spiritual battle is being fought, and I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you're either going to be a soldier for Christ, you're going to become a fatality. If you don't walk surrounded by yourself with that full armor of God, you're going to become a fatality in this war. Let's pray together. Lord, it's not concerning. It's not something that scares us. It's not something we fear, but it's something we certainly are concerned about. Because it's our nation. It's a nation that we love. It's a nation that we care about. It's a nation that men and women have died to defend and to keep free. And yet, Lord, we see terrible decisions being made. We see people living in sin. And we see the church living in sin. We see brothers and sisters in Christ being no different than unsaved people in the world. And Lord, that concerns us. That hurts us, and we know it hurts you. But Lord, I pray that we would be that people that you call us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 to be the people who are called by your name, not just to pray, but we would humble ourselves, we turn from our sin and seek your face then, and then pray, and then know you'll hear us. Lord, we like to pray without repenting. We like to pray without turning to you. We like to pray and expect you to answer just because we prayed, but Lord, you gave us that stipulation of turning from our evil ways, to seek your face, to obey you, and then to pray. Lord, help us to be willing to do that. Change us, and thereby, Lord, change our nation. As we said, I believe one of those 4 points in the beginning are going to happen. They're going to happen soon. But Lord, I pray that we would be taking as many people as possible with us into the kingdom. Lord, that we would have that urgency of telling people about the hope that they can have in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Don't forget.